Today I have one of my really good friends. He's sort of like a mentor as well in my life, man. But his name is Carlos. And, you know, before we really, today we'll be talking about, you know, the gift of loving people. But before we start off, you know, the topic, of course, I'm going to pray us in. And I'm going to just kind of give you a little backstory about me and Carlos and that. All right. Thank you, Father God, just for this day. Thank you, Lord God, for, you know, being present in our lives and our viewers' lives. Thank you, Lord, for letting this episode reach and touch everybody that you happen to reach and touch. Thank you, Lord, for letting Carlos make it over here safely. And just thank you, Lord, for speaking through us on this podcast episode. And just this podcast in general, be more about you, less about me, less about Carlos. Let's just, you know, like, let's just trust you and stick with you, man. And, you know, just continuously trust you and walk in, you know, the life that you have us to walk in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
Amen.
So, yeah, so backstory on how I met Carlos. I actually met him, I want to say it was August?
Yeah, August.
This past year, last year. And it's so funny, like, our church was having an audition for him. And I wasn't even going to go. Like, I'm on the camera, like, at our church. So, like, my mom was like, hey, they're auditioning this guy, and, you know, she's on the worship team, so she was like, hey, like, I want to go, and I'm like, okay, awesome for you, and she's like, I want you to come as well, and I'm like, okay, I'll go. And I remember when I first met him, I'm like, you know, it's something really different, you know, about this guy. And honestly, the more that we talked and stuff, like, he would, like, you know, because since he was over the worship team and stuff like that, he would be like, hey, bro, you want to just come into church, and we'll go grab lunch or go grab coffee or something. And it was a lot in those moments where, you know, I remember, I just texted you this the other day. Like, I remember that break room, the break room time that we had where we were in the break room and just talking. And honestly, you know, our meetings were kind of short because you always had meetings, bro. But, like, that'll be a moment that I'll remember for the rest of my life, bro. Just how vulnerable we got, but also, like, you know, the words that you poured into me, bro. Like, I don't really have much of that in my life. And, you know, I always say, like, the best relationships in your life is when you don't expect them. I can say that's where most of my friends come from, where it's like, you know, I went through so much this past summer, and you know, when you came in, I was just kind of like, you know, like, I was trying to get away from people, but, like, you know, just the love that you show, not just me but others, bro, that'll stick with me for the rest of my life, bro. So I first just wanted to pay you your flowers before we start this episode and tell you I love you, bro. So
love you too. Love you too. You're awesome.
Yes, sir. I appreciate it.
Awesome.
But yeah, so today we'll be talking about, you know, the gift of loving people.
Yeah.
So, you know, I guess I want to just start off the episode by saying, like, what is love to you? Like, how do you go about loving people, or honestly, even receiving love for yourself, maybe putting yourself in those environments? Like, how do you go about that?
You know, I think it all starts with God. You know, God is love.
Yeah.
And I think it is important to understand, you know, having some biblical understanding of, if we love God, then we should love people.
Yeah.
You know, when they asked Jesus what the greatest commandment was, he said to love your God,
you know,
but also he said to love your neighbor as yourself.
Right.
And I think it is very interesting that in order to fulfill that full commandment, that entire commandment, is to do both things, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, I love people because I've been loved. Right, and I think it is important to understand that in order to love somebody, you have to understand that you are loved.
Yeah.
Right. I think if we realize that, it gives us this, like, sort of fuel to be able to love people, you know, in a way that no matter what.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I think when I think about love, that's what I think about most of the time.
Yeah. Yeah, so I love that verse. I know I was actually just reading that in John 15, where Jesus is like, you know, like, the greatest command is to, like, you know, love your neighbor as you love yourself. I'm actually going to be doing an episode on that in a few weeks about.
Hey, there you go. People. That's the hook.
Yeah. Yeah, man. But, you know, doing an episode on that, because I think that's something that's really missing, you know, from our society. Usually, you know, that's, I had a little, you know, train left the station moment, but I usually have the guests kind of talk about their testimonies as well. Yeah. So, you know, before we even dive further into it, I would love to share, fair. You know, part of your testimony or your testimony.
Yeah, no, of course. Just to, like, you know, be brief and, of course, to make a longer story short. Right? Yeah. Originally, I'm from the country of Nicaragua. You know, yeah. I was born and raised there. I grew up Catholic. And I gave my life to Jesus when I was 17, after he did a miracle in my life.
Yeah.
I walked into this church, you know, they were having one of those prayer services, and I walked in, man, and God just embraced me with his love.
Yeah.
He showed me who he was.
Yeah.
And then from that very moment, man, I gave my life to God.
Yeah.
I started and got it plugged into church. You know, I went to youth group. That's how I was the one. Yeah. And most of us have, right?
Yeah.
In our younger years. And, got connected and started going. Then quickly, got plugged in into things, you know, started serving at the church. You know, I was one of the greeters and stuff.
Yeah.
And then found there that I had a musical ability, you know, a musical gift inside of me. Mm. And got connected in that way as well, serving. And then I met my late wife 2 years after that. Mm-hmm. And I say late wife because she passed. You know, I met her in Nicaragua. She was an American. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I moved to the United States. I've been here for almost 15 years now.
Yeah.
And it's just been crazy, you know, just been through a lot of things, you know. God has been my high castle, my strong tower in my life, you know, my rock.
Yeah.
And it's because of all that, you know, that I've been able to be here, you know, today.
Yeah.
And just sharing the story, you know. Been, of course, you know, and I moved to Cincinnati, Ohio. That's where I was, mm-hmm. you know, that area. And then I met my now wife, Brooke, mm-hmm. and we moved to Montana. We have 4 beautiful kids.
Yeah.
Moved to Montana, and now we're here in Florida right now, man. So,
yeah.
We're loving it. We love the weather.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Way better from Chicago, right?
And then we're Chicago, Montana, you know, it's cold.
Yeah.
So, but, hey, it's all great. Oh, yeah. We love it.
Yeah.
It's warm. I think we're getting too used to the warm.
Though. Yeah. funny story, actually. It was like this past January, like, we had some snow here. And I remember, like, everybody, like, all us Floridians were like, oh, yeah, we have snow. And I remember I met up with Carlos, like, the next week. And I'm like, bro, can you believe we have snow? And he was like, this was not snow, bro. I'm like, bro, don't take the fun away from it, bro. I was like, bro, let us have this for what? But yeah, man. But I know that's kind of what we dived a little bit into when we were in the, like, break room that day. Or in the production. Right. I keep saying break room, but it was our production room.
And, right.
You know, we talked about that, bro, and I think that's one of the, like, I think that's another form of love, or, like, you know, another part of it is being vulnerable. Mm-hmm. Because I think so many times it's so easy to, like, the things that have hurt you,
yeah.
The things that's difficult, I think it's so easy to hide that and not want to share because it's like I have to relive through some of that stuff. Like, I remember one distinct moment from that conversation that we had. And every time I tell the story, I'm more like the borderline of tears because, like, that was the one moment in my life that, like, I knew God was really present and I was not obedient to, like, what he was like. And it was like, I heard a pastor say, and I've said it after that, like, in those moments in life where God is speaking to you, sometimes it's not like he's audibly speaking, but it's louder than audible. And I just remember I was working at the hospital, and they've heard this story probably once or twice. And I remember I was telling you, like, I was working at the hospital. There was this lady. She was, like, you know, on the cancer floor. Yeah. And it was just us two. And she came onto the elevator. And I just remember, like, and she was, like, she was walking. I was the only one on the elevator, which is kind of rare because the hospital is always so busy. And I remember I stopped the elevator for her so she can come on. And, you know, she put in what floor she was trying to get to. I was about to go back to our department. And I just remember just in that moment, how it switched, because I'm like, you know, I'm ready to get off of work. I've been working 8 right. hours, so I'm ready to go home.
Right.
I just remember as soon as, like, it was like she, like, it was no sign of her being sad or no tears in her eyes as she was walking to the elevator. I think even in that moment, I probably would have been like, oh, what's going on? But I just was so, like, focused on, hey, like, I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
And I remember as soon as the elevator doors closed, and she came onto the elevator, she just like looked at me and broke. Like she was like crying. And I just remember in that moment, I felt like the Lord was like, hey, hug her. Like comfort her in this moment. Show compassion to her. And I don't know why in that moment it didn't like ring to me like, hey, this we're on the cancer floor. So like obviously she probably just lost somebody that's really important to her. But I just remember when it happened, I was so in my head, like, hey, like, I'm a guy, she's a girl on the elevator, right. Like, you know, how people can misconstrue, like, you know, so I'm like, I was just so in my head in that moment, and I just remember, you know, and it's like, the way that she was, like, acting was like she needed somebody to be there for her,
right.
And I remember she got off on, like, the second floor, and I still remember this to this day, and as soon as she got off the elevator, you know, like, just distressed, distraught, I remember I still had a floor to go down, and like the Lord hit me. Like I remember he was like, I just asked you to do something and you didn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And it hit so hard because I'm like, he's like, I needed you to show love to this person in this moment and you didn't. And I just remember I was like, I think so many times we talk about the hurt in our lives,
yeah.
How we talk about how we feel like God is hidden his face from us and when we're going through storms or whatever the case may be or when we're going through hard times. But I don't think we really talk about those times where we've let God down. Where we feel like we've let him, or we feel like he's let us down. We're talking about like how we've let him down, how that hurts. Like I was hurt, but I can't even imagine how, first of all, more hurt that lady was. And then also like how hurt God was for me, for his son not to listen to him. And I think I carry that with me to this day and I still carry that burden because it's like, God is like, hey, I'm not calling you to judge yourself. I'm calling you to remember that feeling.
Mm-hmm.
So when you encounter other people, you remember when you did not listen to me. And now it's kind of like, I heard me and my uncle, we were on a pressure washing job. And I remember there's a song and it was talking about, you know, I was probably like 17, 18. So I wasn't really like in that mind space of like, oh, what he said was actually really good. But he was like, you know, Peter denied Jesus 3 times, but the 4th time he didn't.
Yeah.
But, you know, especially growing in Christ, you understand, like, hey, like, when it was that 4th time when Peter had the opportunity to deny Jesus, he was like, I'm not doing it. And he died the death that Jesus avenged. Like, he told him, like, hey, you're, like, he kind of promised, like, hey, this is the death that you're going to die for me. Even when in the midst of, like, kind of like I look at Peter, like, he was judging himself probably worse than I was when he denied Jesus. And it's
I like Peter. He makes me feel good.
But, bro, the moment that in the break room or in the production room that also is like, you know, I think, again, with like what we're just talking about with vulnerability, I just remember you being like, I remember you stopping me, but I, like, bro, I still remember this video. I remember you stopping and paused, bro.
Mm.
And, you know, we both cried that day, so I think you also tried to stop yourself from crying. And I was like, hey, like, that's why I'm not even crying yet.
I'm a grown man.
Right,
but
that's how I was. When you were crying, I was like, yeah, I'm going, because most of the time when I see people cry, I'm like, I can hold it together pretty well.
Right.
But I remember, bro, when you prayed for me, that's when I broke, bro. I remember, like, before I get into that, bro, I remember, like, you paused, you took that break, and you were like, I was that person on the elevator. Like, I was that person who wished somebody would have just gave me a hug.
Yeah.
And bro, that was like, for me, that was like, dang. Like, it made me feel like even, but it was so beautiful because it was like, that just showed how, you know, first of all, how much you trust me for even like telling me that story. And like, you know, even me being a brother for you, like, you know, just, you know, honestly, being in those moments, like I think a lot of the times we talk about knowing Jesus and we talk about loving him. But it's like when we break bread with him, that's when we actually really get to know him. You know, we actually get to, you know, talk with him, you know, see him, smell. Like we just get to be in those moments where we're like in his vicinity, where we're like by him. And I just, you know, I think that's another aspect of love, bro. I remember you told me when I started crying this time, you were like, man, you're good. I remember you were we were talking about the camera, and you're like, bro, you're going to do so many amazing things outside of where you're at right now. He's like, I remember you're like, bro, it's gonna be a time where all of us are turning on the TV and we see you talking. And I'm like, bro, like that was like, dang, bro, like. But you know, I appreciate you for that too, bro. But
of course,
you know, how do you feel like vulnerability ties into love?
You know, it's a huge thing. Vulnerability is a big deal. It is hard to be vulnerable.
Yeah.
You know, but one of the things that I've learned, you know, and even through you know, the journey of losing my late wife.
Yeah.
My counselor, you know, the guy that I was seeing or going to see to go through the whole process, you know, mm-hmm. and during grief and loss.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I became a widower at 25.
Yeah.
I was young. I was in a completely different country, completely different culture, completely different language, right? And I was like, I don't know what to do, you know. And I'm grateful, you know, for Steve, that was his name, Steve. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that Steve taught me was the friend system. And he came to teach me that principle, so that the friend system is the accountability system.
Yeah.
And I was struggling. I was going through a lot of things, you know. I was not myself, really.
Yeah.
And I needed to find freedom. I needed to be liberated from things, you know. Mm-hmm. And he said, you need to find at least one or two guys that you can rely on, that you can call at any time whenever you're struggling, whether it's 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah,
you can pick up the phone at 3 a.m.
Yeah.
friends, right?
Yeah.
You can pick up the phone, you can call this guy, and they can pray for you, and they can just hear you or just talk to them, you know.
Yeah.
And me being the overachiever I am, I guess, yeah. personality wise, I found three, and then four, and then five, and now I got six guys in my life, you know, that I'm accountable to, you know. Mm-hmm. And these are people that have access to my emails. Mm-hmm. They have access to even some of my bank accounts.
Mm-hmm.
And they check and things, you know. And these are like, wow, that's a lot of like leverage to have on you and stuff like that. But these are people that I've learned to trust, you know, over the years. And the reality is, you know, how you know you can trust someone? You just have to trust them.
Yeah.
You know, and there's no other way
right.
Around it. You know, it's the only way you can find out if you can trust somebody, you know. Mm-hmm. And yes. we can always apply, you know, principles like the potato chip principle that I always love.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, when it comes to trusting somebody, and hear me out for a moment. I know that it sounds like I'm going on a rabbit trail.
Oh, no,
but the potato chip principle is like, you know, you ever had like this group of friends that you're trying to get a hangout together, you know, a time together on an evening, and mm-hmm. you have this person in your group that is always like wanting to bring something, but you don't know if you should like trust them. You're like this weird vibe,
right.
And you're like, I don't know if I should trust you. And you're like, hey, you know what? I'm just going to. Why don't you just bring the potato chips?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
bring the Doritos or whatever, or the Flaming Hot Cheetos or something.
Right.
You know, and see how they do. You know, and then that night you realize that if they bring it, you know, it's somebody you can trust. You know, so
yeah.
you can give it little by little. You know, but part of that part of opening up. You know, you just I think we've been taught that if you're vulnerable, if you are if you're too open, you know, people will stab you in the back. And the reality is, people are going to do that because
yeah.
people are people, and people are dumb and do stupid
yeah.
things,
yeah.
right? And, yeah. and not everybody is mature, you know? And that's why I always like to apply that principle, because, you know, that way you can start at least taking some steps to like helping yourself
yeah.
in a way, you know, because you can be open to things. And the other thing is that by being open is so liberating, man.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, you know that you're going to be judged by some people, and that's okay. You know, people are people, like I just said.
Yeah.
But the reality is, when you don't hold it inside of you, Adrian, it took me 18 months to deal with the loss of my wife because I just kept it inside.
Yeah.
But the reality is, sure, I kept it inside and I put it there.
Yeah.
But 18 months later, it was still there.
Yeah.
Right? And I needed to let it go, so I needed to find help.
Yeah.
Right. And thankfully, I found this guy, you know, Steve.
Mm-hmm.
But there's so much liberation. There's so much freedom, you know, that you can find by the Bible says that we should confess our sins to one another.
Yeah.
Right. And of course, you know, we can go on a rabbit trail about theology and all that stuff and how that applies. But the principle is to like share what you're going through with somebody that you can trust.
Yeah.
You know, and I think I want to encourage people, you know, You have to find a friend. You have to find somebody that you can trust, you know.
Yeah.
Build that relationship of trust, you know. It takes time, and that's okay. But I found, man, that like six guys now, you know, that I can wholeheartedly trust, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They even tell me like, hey, have you been reading your Bible?
Yeah.
Like simple stuff that
right.
it sounds so miserable.
Yeah.
But it helps.
Yeah.
It helps to know that somebody has your back
mm-hmm.
no matter what.
Yep.
Even in the little things, you know, are you spending time with God, Carlos?
Yeah.
Are you and your wife been praying together?
Yeah.
I'm like, You know, it sounds like, man, this is, I'm a pastor. I should know this stuff.
Yeah.
Right? I should be doing this stuff every single day. Nobody should be asking me about it.
Right.
But the reality is we all need that kind of support. Right.
Yeah.
And whether it's big or small, you know, we need support.
Yeah.
So I think be open to people, you know, trust somebody, you know, see where it goes and go from there. Right.
Yeah. I think that's a, man, that's so good. All right. I know, like, I talk about him all the time. Like, that's like one of my best friends. His name is Matt. Like, you know, and I luckily, like, you know, God has poured so many other people in my life as well. Like, just being able to, like, you know, like, be vulnerable and also be able, like, for them to be like, hey, bro, what's going on with you? Like, I have one friend, like, he's from the church, and, like, I remember he was like, bro, like, what's up with your podcast, bro? Because I hadn't done an episode in, like, 6 months.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, oh, yeah, bro, I'm just trying to get some stuff out. And then the next week, hey, bro, what's up with your podcast,
don't you love those friends?
Yeah, I love those friends, bro. Like, he was like, bro, he was giving me tips. Like, he was like, bro, like, when the episode comes on, you should be like, yo, like, you know, like, be able to, like, make us feel like we're family. And I'm like, you know, you need those people that, you know, that push you to be greater than you, what you feel like you may be in those moments, man. And being able to, like, I feel like you're another one of those people for me. I remember, like, you know, a few months ago, like, you know, I never really talk about this, like, you know, aspect of my life because, I mean, not for no specific reason. It's just it never really comes up. But Carlos, like, we're out at, like, I know you know exactly what I'm talking about. We're out at the taco shop.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm, like, literally, like, mid-bite about to eat my taco. And then Carlos is like, hey, I'm like, yeah. He's like, any girls on your radar, bro? And I'm like, time to the taco now. I was like, nah, bro. And he was like, you know, and like, this is like when he was still like my worship pastor. So he was like, you know, like, man, like, what's going on with it, bro? And I'm just like, I don't know. He's like, Adrian, bro, you're not stuck giving me these one word answers. Like, answer my questions. You know, like, I remember you gave me like, even some like godly advice even in that, and you know, writing down what you want, and you know, nothing is too far off from what you want. Like, you know, sometimes we think, oh, are we being superficial, or are we asking for too much, or will God grant that? But it's kind of like, I just was listening to a podcast like about that, about relationships, and I think one of the things that we talk about a lot is like when it's like God's gonna give you the desires of your heart, but it's like that won't happen until your heart becomes like his heart, and your heart becomes like his heart when you're connected to him. And honestly, it's like I had a mentor say, I was going through that aspect of like just trying to forgive people. And I remember one of my mentors, he was like, why do you have to try? Like, you're already made in God's image, right?
Yeah.
So if you're already made in somebody, like, you don't have to try to look like your parents.
Wow.
You already look like them. So we already look just like our father. So it's like, you know, in those moments where we're searching for our identity and we're like, hey, man, who are we? It's like, we just have to look up and like, hey, like, I got your DNA. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm yours. And I think that's so important, you know, especially in this life, is having people that, you know, like, I remember those times where, you know, I probably was like, hey, man, like, I just am not feeling like, I remember I had a conversation with you where I'm like, hey, bro, I'm starting to kind of feel overwhelmed. You know, I kind of want to drop down. Because I told you, like, I was doing, like, twice or three times a week. And I was like, hey, bro, I kind of want to drop down.
Yeah.
And I remember instead of responding in the moment and responding out of your emotions, because you only had two people that you were working with, you're like, oh, gosh, I need Adrian here right now. But I remember it was, like, in that moment, bro, which was in that production, when you were like, man, like, you want to drop down, bro, go ahead, but bro, like, this is just a building block for you. Like, this is temporary. Like, and I always relate that, like, sometimes, like, even when I'm talking to other people or when I'm writing in my journal or just kind of reflecting on my life, reflecting on the day, because I try to do that a lot, because I think sometimes we can get lost in the aspect of life because life is so up and down and life is so busy.
Yeah.
But reflecting on those, like, when those people, like, when your people pour into you, I think that's something that I think about for life, man. Like, when you told me, like, bro, like, God has so much, honestly, I know that, and I know internally, like, sometimes you can run away from stuff. Like, my whole life, I heard people be like, hey, bro, you're gonna be a pastor, you're gonna talk to a whole bunch of people, and I'm always kind of like, I don't like talking to people. You're like, but like having those people pour into you, like, you know, my mom is another one where she's like, you know, I think she does that quite a few times throughout the year where she'll have to pull me to the side and be like, hey, like, you know who God has called you to be, you know who God has created you to be.
Wow.
But yeah, another point that I had written down, or another question, is how do you navigate making the people around you feel seen and loved?
Yeah. I think it's just going out of your way, you know, just running that extra mile sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, I think it is important to know that sometimes, like you said, like that one time, you know, we were at the elevator, you know, it was like you sometimes you feel this tugging, you know, and you might feel awkward and cumbersome, you know, to do something.
Yeah.
But I think it's worth it after the fact, you know. There have been many times where I was having probably a tough day, and all of a sudden I got a text message, a random text message from a friend saying, hey man, I love you, bro. Praying for you. I'm not sure why. You know, something like that.
Yeah.
Or just a compliment, you know. And again, like I said earlier, if you've been loved by God, you know, we should love people, you know, and if we love God, then we should love people.
Right.
So I think God has shown me so much love himself, you know, that I just want to show it to people as well. You know, I want them to meet that same God that I know.
Yeah.
So I know that it may seem a little odd, but it's just going out of your way sometimes, you know, but do it without expecting anything in return, really. You know,
do it
out of the abundance of knowing that you're loved, that you've been loved, you know, and that becomes your power, your superpower.
You know, just
loving people.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you know, it's funny when I was going through counseling, one of the things that Steve brought up was that, you know, when people feel depressed, for example, one of the things that they do, the experts say, that go to a nursing home or go to a place where you can serve somebody, you know, because there is so much fulfillment. It is built into our nature. When we help somebody, it makes us feel good. You know, it's not just helping the person, but it's helping ourselves feel better because we know that we did the right thing.
Right.
And always doing the right thing, it's always worth it.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, it might feel awkward and cumbersome even while you're doing it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But after the fact, you're like, you know, it's this clean conscience of knowing that you did the right thing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I think I'll take it from there. You know,
I
think it's how I try to approach it.
Yeah, I think that's beautiful. I think it's like that scripture where it's like, you know, like, hey, like, I don't want to, like, you know, another train left the station. Oh yeah, I don't really want to twist up the scriptures, bro.
That's so good.
I don't really.
You can paraphrase it.
Yeah, but it's like where it's like, hey, like, you know, if you know what's right, then do what's right, basically.
Yep.
Like, you know, if you didn't know what was right before, not saying if you didn't know what was right and you still did it, like, not saying that's good, but if you know what's good and you know what's right to do in the moment, then that's how that's what our heart posture should become.
Right.
And I think, you know, with God being love, like, you know, he loves us, but he is love. Like, that's who he is, and he's planted that inside of us.
Yeah.
I think so many times it's kind of like, the way I try to think about it is like, hey, you have a Christmas gift under the tree, and it's the most beautiful gift that you've ever looked at, but something overshadows it. Like, you've had a good gift in your life before and it got broken.
Mm-hmm.
Or you've had a good gift in your life before and it got misplaced or got misused. And I think so many times, that's when we start thinking simply. So now we see the gift under the Christmas tree and we don't even want to touch it because I already know what's going to happen to it.
Yeah.
I'm going to pour it out. I'm going to love it. And it's not going to love me back. Now, that's how I try to look at even with people, even in my own life. Like, I sometimes, like, you know, I self-isolate, especially when I kind of feel like if people I feel like, you know, have done hurtful things, sometimes it's easier for me to be like, okay, you know what? I'm just going to step away from this, and I'm just going to step back, you know. I think a lot of those times, in those moments, God is like, hey, man, like, you know, isolation is good when I allow it to be, but, you know, the enemy can isolate you as well to make you get offended and to make you think cynically, you know. Just I think he's constantly teaching me in that, like, hey, not every bad thing that you go through is necessarily bad. it's just a teaching moment. Well, I think that's something that, you know, you and me have talked about. Yeah, I know you'll remember this too, where I was really annoyed when I was like, yeah, man, it was, you know, like, you know, people were like, hey, it's like, I came in with my sister, and I, and people were like, oh, yeah, it's your sister, your girlfriend. They're like, yeah, it's your sister, your girlfriend. I'm like, bro, like, aren't we all a little too over this? I'm like, with the assumptions game, I'm like, first of all, I brought her. I'm like, if I was dating a girl, none of you guys would know because you talk way too much. But you were like, bro, like, you were like, you gotta railroad me. You're like, hey, bro, like, assumptions is the mother of all failure, bro. You remember I was crying laughing, bro, because I was like, wow, like, that's the first time. Yeah, that was the first time I heard that. You're like, bro, assumptions is the mother of all failure. You're like, we all go through it. Like, you're like, man, you don't know how many assumptions people make about me even to this day. Like, you know, I'm like, you know, it's comforting when people kind of share their own experiences with me, and they're like, hey, man, like, you're not the only one that goes through it, bro. Like, there's so much, it's so much life that you're still going to be, like, you're still going to live, that you're going to see, like, know what, like, I heard one guy say, like, either you're coming out of a storm, entering into a storm. Like, that's like, that's the best way I can describe it. Is like, hey, man, like, you need to learn from what you're about to go through. I like to say, like, your falls don't feel like your springs, or your winters don't feel like your springs. Like, winter is super cold, spring is when it starts to warm up, and the summer is like, man, I'm ready for fall to come. Like,
you know, right.
So it's like you look at every season, right? Like, you look at fall, and it's like, oh man, I can't wait to see, like, the orange leaves.
Right.
And fall is here, and it starts to get a little cold, and you're like, okay, I'm ready for Christmas. That's winter. And then winter comes, it's like, bro, it's way too cold outside. And then it's like, I'm ready for spring, and then spring starts to get a little warm, and then summer is, and you're like, bro, like, where is fall at?
Right.
And it's like, I kind of, like, use that example of, like, hey, like, in life, it's like we enter into a season and it's so fun, and like, we're like, okay, I'm ready for the next one. Then we get into the next one. It's like, oh wait, this wasn't as fun as the last one. Let me try to jump back into the last one. It's like, hey, you can't look back. You can't jump back. You gotta look forward. So I think that's beautiful, man.
Yeah.
Another question I had written down here was like, you know, kind of honestly even transitioning to the overall church. You know, with, like, I always say, like, we are the church, but, you know, like, I think I've talked to so many people that have been, you know, hurt from the church. You know, they've been hurt from people in the church. So how, like, do you think that that's an aspect that's missing from the church? Like, genuine love, do you think that's missing from places? Like, you know, like, what hope and advice would you give to people that have been hurt by the church and they're kind of iffy on, you know, going and visiting a new place, or, you know?
Yeah, that's a big question.
I always have one of those questions for every episode.
I do believe that there is still genuine love in the church. Mm-hmm. You know, I think what happens sometimes, and it goes back to, like, what we said in the beginning, people are people, and people are gonna do dumb and stupid stuff.
Yeah.
Right. Why? Because they're people. Yeah. Right. They're human. They make mistakes. Right. Yeah. So, but I do believe, however, that there are people still out there that, and quite a bit, probably more than we think, and probably more than we probably see, that still have genuine love for other people.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, when you look at the way that Jesus was a relational leader.
Yeah.
You know, he wasn't transactional. He was a relational leader.
Mm-hmm.
And he spent time with people. He spent time with his disciples, with those 12 guys, right? Mm-hmm. He poured into them. So I believe that there are people that still live that way too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people that do good without expecting anything in return, right? I think there is sincere love from some people as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's still in the church. It's just a matter of, you know, opening our eyes.
Yeah.
You know, I think you have to sometimes just open your eyes clearly and see what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you talked about, like, people being hurt in the church, you know, and it goes back to the same thing. People are people, and people are going to do people stuff.
Yeah.
Right. And but if you've been hurt, by the way, I just want to say I'm sorry, you know, on behalf of Christians, you know, I'm sorry that you've been hurt. You know, I'm sorry that things didn't work out the way you wanted them. But sometimes people will do people stuff.
Yeah.
You know, they're still human. And that's why I always say, like, you know, don't serve a church, you know, don't serve a pastor. Serve Jesus.
Yeah.
Because Jesus won't let you down.
Right.
People will let you down, but Jesus won't.
Right.
You know? And And but just remember also, you know, in this world, you will face difficulties. Mm-hmm. You know, you will face trials.
Yeah.
You know, Jesus didn't promise good days.
No, he didn't.
He didn't promise perfect days, and he didn't promise a perfect life.
Yeah, he told us to pick up our cross.
He told us to pick up our cross and to follow him, right? Yeah. But he also told us that we should trust him. You know, he said, "Take heart, for I have overcome the world."
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And I think it is important to know that, yes, people in the church are going to hurt you. Mm-hmm. It's bound to happen. Mm-hmm. But that should not stop you from loving God and loving his people.
Right?
That should not be a reason to. Why? Because you will, yeah, sure, you're going through a tough time right now. You know, you're going through a desert. You might be going through a valley, you know.
Yeah.
But every season, and Adrian, now I want to say this, every season has an end. Mm-hmm. And every season has a new beginning.
Yeah.
So, sure, people hurt you, people let you down, that's fine. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not trying to be insensitive to that, but
yeah,
that means there's a new season coming, you know. And I think we should always acknowledge God in every season of our lives, mm-hmm. and just give it to God and say, God, I need friends.
Yeah.
You know, I need new friends. I need people that are going to love me for who I am and going to help me be a better person.
Yeah.
You know, and I promise you, God will answer that question, that prayer, because mm-hmm. He did it for me. I mean, I needed two guys, and I told you, like, all of a sudden three, and then four, and five, and six, and now there's six of them, you know, yeah. and God blessed that, right. You know, but we gotta be willing to be open,
yeah.
You know, is the other thing. So, going back to the topic of, like, you know, when you've experienced things, you know.
Mm-hmm.
In the church, mm-hmm. Try not to make it about the church. Make it about Jesus.
Yeah.
If Jesus is the driving force in your life, mm-hmm. no matter what comes your way,
yeah,
you'll be able to face it.
Yeah.
You know, and that's sometimes the things that we get. Sometimes we get so intertwined with the things of the church,
mm-hmm.
that we forget the why.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's again, so beautiful, bro. Like, I remember you and me had a conversation about that. You guys probably in this episode are gonna be like, man, you said that so many times already. You and him had a conversation, but I remember, like, when I first met you, bro. I remember you and me had that conversation of, like, you know, I was just talking to you, and I'm like, you know, I feel like so many people, not at a specific place, but just people in general, like. You know, they can take, you know, it's like those people that, like, they know what you bring to the table. They know, like, you know, the gifts and the abilities that God has gifted upon you.
Yeah.
And they really don't care about you, like, the person. They care about you, what you can bring to the table.
Right.
And I remember, like, that was a conversation you had with me where you kind of told me, like, that's why when you were talking about the chip example or analogy that you were using, I'm like, mm-hmm. yeah, you know,
potato chip,
bro. Like, you were like, well, you know, Adrian, like, you just have to, you know, like, trusting people doesn't come with a fee.
No.
Like, you know, like, you have the ability to either
yep.
A, trust people, and yeah, you might get let down because, like you said,
right.
people are people.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, you have to always bring yourself back to, like, because the enemy is going to throw at you what makes you jump to your flesh.
Yeah.
So your flesh is going to want to get angry and get
right.
hurt and get offended
right.
and not trust anybody. But it's like, when you relate it back to Jesus, it's like, so many times I think we live in this life where so many people are like, yeah, you're never going to go through anything.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, if that was the case, why did Jesus go through something that was, like, that we deserve?
Yeah.
But he went through and he took all of that upon himself.
Yeah.
And understanding, like, you're going to go through tests and trials and tribulations.
Yeah.
But understand that, like you said, I've overcome the world.
Yeah.
Like, I was looking at this verse where I was like, stand firm. Like, you know, Luke 21:19,
mm.
it was like, you know, like, stand firm, like, you know, like, and it's like, endure to the end, you
yeah.
know, understanding, like, hey, like, I try to constantly remind myself, like, you know, this is not my home, you know, that, like, I have a home with a father that has his arms stretched right open, you know, for me to run into. So that's why I just constantly try to, you know, remind myself of when I think about, 'cause I've been at places where, you know, people might have, you know, not spoke to you, you know, they treat your family in certain kind of ways, and it's like, dang, like, I thought we were supposed to love each other. That's when I would be like 15, 16. That's like when your foundation is already shaky,
yeah.
because you're like, you're you're in your head about what people may perceive you as, and you're also like, I don't want to live for God. So I was in that transition period and just understanding, like, you know, not every place is the same place. But you're like, you know, I remember you told me that one time too, like, look at what the church is filled with. It's filled with people. Like, you know, like it's no different than when you're at your job and people hurt you, but you still have to go to work and you still have to, you know.
Right. Exactly.
So, exactly. Man.
It's always about people.
Yeah.
You know, and it is interesting because even in Genesis, when God created man and he created Adam, you know, he said it's not good for man to be alone.
Yeah.
And he was not just referring for him to have a wife.
Exactly.
He was talking about also being community, being with somebody, so that he wouldn't be by himself.
Right.
I was asked this question one time by one of my mentors. In fact, he said, Carlos, when was the last time you got in trouble? Who were you with? Were you by yourself or were you with somebody from the church? And I was like, I was probably by myself.
Yeah.
Or with somebody who wasn't supposed to be with. You know? But was it one of my accountability partners? No, because I know they would have called me out.
Yeah.
Right? But it's not good for men to be alone.
Yeah.
Right? It's important that we surround ourselves with good people.
Yeah.
Right? It's important to pray for those relationships, right?
Yeah.
But I think it is important to notate, you know, we need each other.
Yeah.
You know, we're better together, you know, and we cannot just let one occasion, you know, take us back or hold us back from a better future that it could be waiting just right around the corner, you know, because we're not willing to, like, talk about it or go through it, you know. And remember in Matthew 18 when Jesus is teaching the disciples about the principle of, like, talking to one another, not talking to about each other, but talking to each other, right?
Yeah.
I love that part, you know, because it teaches us to not keep it inside. It teaches us to, like, go and have the conversation with somebody. Hey, hey, you so-and-so, you know, this happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want to let you know that this is how I felt, you know, and I'm not, and you don't have to say it to, like, expect that sorry from them.
Yeah,
I'm so sorry, like an apology.
Yeah.
But it's you're releasing. It's the part of what I said earlier. It's liberating, right?
Yeah.
So it's one, again, I want to go back to that principle of, like, you know, just talk to the person, you know, don't talk about the person,
mm-hmm.
because that's all what it's going to do. It's going to, you know, keep taking things inside of you, you know, about and talking about this person, you know, and then you're talking about this person and it sounds like it's poison.
Yeah.
You know, and what sometimes you have to do, you just have to release it. You got to let it go, right?
Yeah.
Just talk to the person and say, hey, this happened, you know, I felt like things could have been a little better, you know, and approach it from there, you know, have a casual conversation with the person.
Yeah.
You know, but move forward, you know,
and
go from there.
Because honestly, talking about it, you're moving backwards. Like, you know,
when you said, it can be easy to move backwards.
Yeah, super easy. You know?
Super easy.
So easy to relive those moments.
Right.
And feel like, you know, you relive those moments and you get angry all over again. Like, I should have said this and I should have did this. Like, bro, it's over. It's been like 3 years. Like, let me go.
Yeah. And you know, it's interesting, Adrian, because it feels like every single person, every single one of us is climbing a mountain.
Yeah.
You know, every single one of us is climbing a mountain in life.
Yeah.
You know, and like we said, it's easier to go backwards because, you know, the force is pulling you back up. Gravity is pulling you back
down. Right.
But at the top of the mountain is the victory that we've been awaiting for.
Yeah, that's the finish line.
Right. And so I think it is important to know that we need to keep climbing the mountain. It's going to hurt. You know, it's going to require a little more power, a little more strength to move forward, right? And you gotta let go of something. Sometimes you gotta let go of some weight that is holding you back because you don't want to keep going back down, right? You wanna keep climbing to that mountain top.
Yeah, I remember I had a friend that said on the podcast, like, even kind of where it comes when it concerns the church, like, God may only be like, hey, only one or two of these people may go with you. It may be a room full of 50 people that are your age or that may have an interest in who you are as a person, but it may only be one or two that God says, hey, that's the person that's supposed to go with you.
Yeah.
That's the person that you can still not, don't treat them badly. That's still my son.
Right.
That's still my daughter, but they're not supposed to be on this journey of life with you. And sometimes that's a tough pill to swallow because
sometimes
you want to take everybody with you.
But God will send the right person.
Yeah, exactly.
Because he knows who we are.
Right.
He knows how we're designed.
Yeah.
You know, he will send the right friendship. The right friend for you.
Yeah.
You know.
Like this guy right here.
We need each other, man.
Yeah.
You know, really cool fact. You know the redwoods in California?
Yeah.
Big ginormous trees?
Yeah.
Have you ever noticed that they're so tall?
Yeah.
What is the reason why they grow so tall?
Why is that?
You know, scientists discovered that underneath the root system, they're all connected and intertwined with each other. That's why they can grow so tall and not get knocked down by the wind.
Wow. Man, that's deep.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, that's deep.
You know, the way they can hold that ginormous tree in place, because how is it going to, I mean, a wind just comes and just can knock it down with that much height.
Right.
Is because their roots are connected with one another.
Yeah.
And that's important, the roots.
Yeah.
Where are you connected with one another? Through the roots.
Right.
You know, the things that make you who you are, right?
Yeah.
And they're going to love you for who you are, right?
Right?
So we need each other, right?
Yeah.
But we know that we can withstand a storm.
Yeah.
When we are rooted
together.
And together with
right.
one another.
Man, honestly, before we get to the next question, I think that's so beautiful. Like, when I talked about doing an episode in a couple of weeks, we're going to be kind of talking about David and Jonathan. And, you know, when I was, like, reading, like, you know, I started doing the devotionals a couple of, like, months ago at our church. And that was something that I wrote about. And my first devotional ever was about friendship.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord pointed me right to David and Jonathan. Like, I always joke around and I'm like, you know, I mean, you know, it is a serious thing I'm saying, like, I mean from the depths of my heart, but it's kind of like, you know, like a real life joke between us. Like, I'm always like, my friend Matthew is like, it's like David and Jonathan, like that. I love that the Bible says not just one time but multiple times, like, they loved each other more than they loved themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I think that's the root of it, is understanding, like, hey, like, well, we're around each other, my interest isn't what's best for me. My interest is, hey, how can I help Carlos? How can I benefit Carlos? I remember that's something that I told you, like, bro, I was like, man, like, when you came and, you know, I kind of was honestly not testing you, but testing, like, the spirit behind, like, the people that God started to bring in my life.
Yeah.
I'm like, because, you know, I went through that period where I was like, okay, wait, like, I'm kind of discerning, like, hey, do you actually, like, care for me, or do you just care for what I can bring? But, you know, when the Lord showed, like, hey, like, this is a person that I want to be in your life, like, this is the person that, you know, I want you to be in his life.
Yeah.
I think that's something that I told you, like, hey, bro, any way that I can possibly help you, I want to, because I love you like God, like, you know, God wants me to love you. Like, we'll never really know God's love, but we have a glimpse of it, and we're able to show that if we
do one another.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
So it's like looking at the people around you in your life, and it's like, hey, am I loving, you know, these people the way that God would have me love these people, or is it like a ulterior motive? Like, I'm loving them for me to gain something from the people.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. And I think we should give each other a chance.
Yeah.
You know.
Same here.
We have to give people a chance.
Yeah.
You know, we gotta give them an opportunity. I mean, I'm in ministry today because my youth pastor gave me a chance to, like, go and give a tryout into the worship team.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't have it.
Right.
You know, if I would have hurt myself 15 years ago, I would be like, you don't have it. You know,
right.
But they gave me a chance.
Yeah.
You know, they gave me a chance. They gave me an opportunity, you know.
Mm-hmm.
After losing my wife, you know, and going through all that, you know, my pastor still gave me a chance.
Yeah.
I didn't deserve it. You know, that's when I understood grace.
Yeah.
That's when I understood that sometimes there are things in life that you don't deserve, but people are willing to give you a chance.
Right.
Because they're just trying to show you, like you said, that love of God.
Yeah.
And I think that's beautiful.
Yeah.
You know, that's beautiful.
That kind of ventures off into the next question.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry.
Oh, no, bro. I said, this is all.
I'm not reading your notes.
Yeah, this is this is all Holy Spirit. Man. But the third question is, do you have a distinct memory or feeling of God's love? And if so, can you share that moment?
Yeah, you know, that was that one time, you know, that to share that story was when my late wife had passed. You know, I was really heartbroken. You know, God did a miracle in my life. He did a healing miracle in my life. That's how I came to Jesus.
Yeah.
And for me, was like I was holding on to hope, because, you know, God healed me.
Mm-hmm.
He could have healed my wife.
Yeah.
Why didn't you heal my wife?
Right.
And I got angry at God. You know, I got upset. I turned my back on him, and I started living a double life. You know, Monday through Saturday was one thing, and on Sundays was a completely different thing.
Yeah.
And I remember that it was a friend of mine who caught me doing something I wasn't supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. And he said to me, if you don't go and tell your pastor what you're doing, I'm going to go and tell him myself.
Ooh, that type of friend, a good type of friend.
Listen, I did not like that friend.
Yeah, those moments you never do.
I really did not like his face that moment. But I needed that, you know. I needed that moment. Mm. I needed it for that to happen.
Yeah,
it was hard.
Yeah,
but I needed it.
Yeah.
And I remember I went to my pastor and he said, don't say another word, just meet me in my office on Monday morning at 9 o'clock. And I'm like, oof.
Yeah.
That was a Saturday evening when he told me that. Mm-hmm. And I remember that I showed up into his office. I got there like 5 minutes before that because I wanted to make sure that nothing crazy was going to happen. But I really thought in that moment, it's all over.
Yeah.
I'm cooked. I'm done.
Yeah.
And, I showed up to his office and I opened the door and he said, hey buddy, come in. That's how he always was. Mm-hmm. And come on, please sit down. And he said, hey, this is for you. And he had a white envelope on his desk. He had nothing else on his desk except just that white envelope. Mm-hmm. And he had no name on it. And he just pushed it forward and said, this is for you. And you know, it went through my mind in that moment, oh man, this guy's gonna give me probably my last check, or my, you know, he's gonna kick me out of here and stuff like that, right? Yeah. And I'm just like, I had all these questions in my mind, and he was always he's always been a smiley guy, so I'm like, whether he's going through something tough or not, you know, he's just trying to smile. I really don't know this moment what's going on.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, this guy is really gonna fire me with a smile on his face, or he's gonna do something else. And I don't know.
Yeah.
And I remember that he said, hey, there's a check there for you. And I'm like, oof.
Oh, yeah.
Here he goes. There's a check. Yeah. And he said, yeah, and it's for you. And I'm like, oh, gosh.
Yeah.
And he said, and he said, just go ahead and open it. And he said, there's a check there for you. And he said, after I started opening it, I saw that it had a paper clip attached to it. Mm-hmm. And he said, hey, there's a card attached to the back of the check. And he said, there's a number. I want you to call the number on the back of that card and make an appointment for this week. And I looked at the check, and it was a large amount, and it was worth 12 weeks of counseling.
Wow. That's, bro.
Dude, in that moment, I did not deserve that chance.
Yeah.
But we were talking about seeing people, mm-hmm. and how to make them feel loved. Mm-hmm. He saw that I was broken, and I needed to be loved.
Yeah.
So he went out of his way and paying out of his own pocket to pay for those 12 weeks of counseling, so that I could actually get the help that I needed from a professional.
Trying to make me cry again, bro.
I'm not trying to, but I'm just saying, like, we gotta give people a chance.
Yeah.
And
not judge them.
And I let him down. Yeah. And not just him, I let my friend down.
Yeah.
And I had to work hard to relearn both of their trust, especially my best friend. Mm-hmm. It took me years to go back to that place where he actually trusted me wholeheartedly again. Mm-hmm. But I had to work for it.
Yeah.
And that's the part of, like, we're all climbing a mountain.
Yeah.
Right? And I feel like we need to be able to push forward even when it's painful.
Yeah.
It was painful, man.
Yeah.
It was painful to go through the whole thing but I'm grateful that I went through that journey. Mm-hmm. And I'm grateful that I did that counseling. You know, this is not a pitch for, like, go and find a counselor.
Yeah.
You know, I had a Christian counselor because he was a pastor that retired, that God told him to not pastor anymore and go help pastors, right? That were going through stuff, through addiction, to loss, you know, and all these things. And I'm grateful that that guy was obedient to God enough to, like, let go of that church and go and practice at an office.
Yeah.
Right? And help people, you know, but we all need to give people a chance. I didn't deserve a chance, you know, in music in that moment. I didn't deserve a chance, you know, in going through that counseling there, you know, and somebody even paying for it out of their own pocket.
Yeah,
I didn't deserve that. And for 12 weeks, that's 3 months. Three months of counseling, you know, out of someone's pocket. That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
And then even deserving to relearn the trust of my friend, even though I had to work for it, you know. But there was something beautiful at the end.
Oh, right? Yeah.
And I'm grateful for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's so good, man. I think that honestly, when you were speaking, the thing that really spoke out to me was the fact that you came to him transparent and vulnerable, expecting to be judged.
You have to be transparent.
Yeah, expecting to be judged, though.
Like, and I was expecting to be judged because I got to open up myself to this guy.
Right, but he chose to love you instead. And I think that's so beautiful. It kind of reminds me of, I think I've shared a little bit about this before, like when I was going through I know I've told you this already, where I was going through a really, really tough time this past summer.
Yeah.
Honestly, to the point where I was like kind of, but this before I met you as well. So like, you know, I was honestly at that place where I was like, I don't really know how much longer I can keep doing this.
Yeah.
Just kind of like encounters with people, you know, people like that I trusted, you know, people that I was building like, you know, relationships with.
Yeah.
And, you know, situations happen where in those moments, you know, you can get let down and, you know, right. You can get hurt. And I think the thing that really it was two people. It was my mom and Matthew, actually. My mom, I remember it was a baptism at our church, and I got back home, and I remember I went to the room, and like most of the time all my siblings, you know, I have a whole bunch of them, so all my siblings are like right under my mom. but I remember that day, I think my dad had took everybody somewhere, so it was like my mom was at the house by herself, which is extremely rare. And I remember I came to the room, and I remember I was crying, you know, a little bit throughout that day, because like that was the first time in my life where I really kind of started to process previous things, present things. And so I remember I just went to the room, and she could kind of already see it on my face. I remember I just started, like, I just broke down. I'm not a crier. Like, I get more angry than I do, like, actually start crying. Or not angry, but frustrated than I, like, start, like, you know, crying. Yeah. I remember I just started crying in her room, and I was like, I just don't know how much more of this I can take. I was like, you keep telling me not to think cynically. You keep telling me to trust people. Now I'm like, every time I throw my cast out, I don't catch nothing. Like, I'm like, it's starting to, like, I'm starting to get hurt. I'm starting to get angry. I just don't know, like, you know, how much more of this. Like I'm hanging on to a thread right now. And I remember she just, you know, she was letting me get all that out. And I remember she sat right beside me, and she was like, hey. And I remember I just kind of looked up, because I'm like, you know, I'm looking down, because I'm like, bro, I don't know. Like I said, I'm just so... I think even internally kind of like angry at God a little bit, because like I know what he's called me to, and I know that is people, and I know that is to love people. Mm-hmm. But when you show that and then it's not really received, or, you know, people do things that are like very unloving, it's kind of like, man, like I didn't deserve that. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. I haven't done anything to you. Even sometimes internally when we're like, hey, like, you know, some people were like, they play the victim card. Well, I haven't done anything to anybody. And it's like, no, seriously, like, I, like, if you needed me, I was there for you. Like, you know, I'll give you the shirt off my back if you needed it. But, you know, in return, you do something that's extremely hurtful. I remember my mom was like listening, and she was just like, hey, like, what has God called you to?
Mm.
And I remember I was just like, I'm not trying to hear this right now. I'm like, I'm really not. Because like, that's usually how she gives me. So I'm like, no, Ma, like, not today. And I remember she was like, no, seriously, what is he called you to? And I'm like, I know it's people, but right now I'm not trying to hear that. And I remember she was just like, exactly. But she was like, but look on the flip side of that. What is the enemy going to try to do?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't know. And she was like, he's gonna send people to hurt you and to cause your heart to be hardened. Yeah. So now when you're faced with people, now you're thinking more harshly on them. You're like, oh, I don't trust you. I don't love you. And like, God has called you to that. And she's like, the way that you gotta go through all this is you have to release it.
Yeah.
So Matthew, I text him like right after I get done talking, you know, to my mom about that. You know, that's when the Lord started to kind of do a work in my heart. That's kind of why I say I like to reflect a lot, because I realize in my life when I don't, that's when I sit in that pit of, hey, man, I can't believe I'm going through that, or I can't believe this happened. I remember I texted Matthew, and I'm like, hey, bro, I just – and the funny thing is he's in grad school. So I remember, like, I had texted him, like, I had texted him just a week before because it was his birthday. But we hadn't, talked in, like, 4 months probably.
Man.
And I remember, because I know, I'm like, I know that's an adjustment for him. So I'm like, you know, I want to be a good friend, just let him, you know, get adjusted to what he's dealing with. I didn't want to put too much on the table. I'm like, hey, bro, I don't want to bother you, but like, this is what's going on in my life, bro. And I remember I just sent him a long text. And I remember he sent me a very long text back. And he's like, bro, you're no bother at all. But, and he was like, man, I know like this can be extremely hurtful. And he's like, I know that's easier said than done. But he was like, but I want to tell you this, bro. Like, you're a person with God still sitting in your life. Never forget that. Mm. And like, it struck me because it was like, hey, like, man, the Holy Spirit through you would have had to see that through the Holy Spirit in me. And like, the fact that you took your time away from your busy schedule, but that you, like, you know, that you said that, that the Lord spoke to you in that moment, you know, it's like that you recognized that. It was like, hey, like, you know, like, it meant a lot. And then, like, you know, months later, having that conversation with you, and it's like, you know, like how much that meant to me. Like, you know, so many times, so many people are like, you know, they don't really want to help. They don't really want to see you thrive. But see, like, you know, seeing you, like,
but just a few.
Yeah, not everyone, but like, you know, just, you know, just those people, like, you know, that, you know, and honestly, you pray for those people for sure. And you pray that, like, you know, we all get to that point where we just want to see the best for you. Yeah. And, you know, I think why, like, you know, having that encounter with you and talking with you in that production room, bro, I think that's the part that brought me to tears. Was like, hey, like, you know, I was praying for this, not even in a specific person, just like clarity and stuff like that. And, you know, you saying those things that, you know, that you said, and obviously, like, you know, that was something that we're gonna keep, like, you know, like, always in our hearts. But, like, you know, it was just like, you know, it still means a lot to this day, bro, because it was like, hey, like, that when you don't expect things, when you're not coming in anything with a heart of expectation for people, but you're expecting, like, God's glory in any aspect, whether it looks good or bad, because honestly, even the bad situations are helping you. Right. It's not really bad. It's just, you know, sometimes we go through those seasons. It's like Job, like, he went through some very hurtful things. God was still there, but it taught him. You know, that's like, he was like, I'm not ever going to turn my back on him. And so many times we kind of hide in that cave of wanting to turn our backs on God when we're going through things and when we're going through, you know, hurts and trials and tribulations. And it's like, hey, that's the person we should be turning to instead of turning away from.
Yeah.
So, you know, I also just want to, you know, I know I've said it like 2 or 3 times, but, you know, thank you again, bro. Thank you, Matthew. Thank you, Mom. And just, you know, all my friends. And honestly,
that's awesome, man.
Yeah. No, it's beautiful, bro.
We need each other.
Yeah, we all need each other.
We need each other for sure.
We need our David and Jonathan, bro, and most importantly, our big brother Jesus. You know,
most importantly, yes, we do.
Yeah. The last question I have written down is, why is extending the love and grace that God shows and gives us important to show and give to others?
Repeat the question.
I got you.
It's a good question.
Yeah. Why is extending the love and grace that God shows and gives us important to show and give to others? It can be important in general, or it can be important specifically in your own life.
Yeah. There's a scripture, a Bible verse, and I'm going to completely probably butcher it, but I'm going to try to paraphrase it to the best of my ability. It's funny because I've learned, you know, I'm from Nicaragua, right? So English is my second language. Mm-hmm. So most of the verses that really, like, became, like, crazy in my life, especially in the beginning, you know, when my eyes were like, oh, or like my mouth was like, I'm just blown away by it. They were all in Spanish. At first, you know, that's how I connected a lot. Mm. In fact, the first time that I read the Bible was obviously in Spanish.
Yeah.
So, you know, and the whole thing. So there's this verse that says, the one who has been forgiven must loves the most. Mm-hmm. And I think part of showing that, extending that grace, has to be with having that understanding that we have been forgiven.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So we should love. We must love. Mm. because we've been forgiven from something that we didn't deserve.
Right.
Right. We didn't, or we've been forgiven when we didn't deserve it.
Yeah.
Right. So I think it comes from that first. Mm. And I mean, I share a couple of things with you, but it goes back to the same thing. We need to give each other a chance.
Yeah.
So it's important, because if we don't give a person a chance, we don't know what that person can do.
Yeah.
We don't know the kind of blessing that that person could be to us even, or to other people, mm-hmm. right? You know Billy Graham, the great Billy Graham. You know that his friend had been trying to invite him to church, mm-hmm. and he didn't want to.
Yeah.
And then one day, the friend, after trying, eventually got him to go to church.
Yeah.
And just like that, dude, because of a friend mm-hmm. who was persistent, he was willing to give another chance and another try.
Yeah.
Even though the guy could say, no, I'm not gonna go. Right. X. He found God mm-hmm. in that church, in that service, you know. And that friend led Billy Graham to Jesus. Mm-hmm. And because of that friend, we have Billy Graham,
right,
who has been an inspiration to a lot of preachers.
One of the greatest evangelists in the world.
The greatest preacher of the 20th century.
Yeah.
You know, not just known in America. I mean, I knew of Billy Graham living in Nicaragua. That's how huge he was.
Yeah.
You know, so he went worldwide. Mm. Before worldwide was a thing.
Yeah. Before YouTube.
before YouTube. Yeah. He was already huge.
Yeah.
So I think it goes back to that, you know, yeah. giving people a chance.
Yeah.
You know, you never know where that seed.
Yeah.
What that seed can bear, you know, and what kind of fruit that seed can bear.
Yeah, I think honestly of the verse where, which I'm probably gonna butcher this a little bit as well. So I'm trying to quote.
We should have rolled during this now.
But I know you know what I'm talking about, where he was like the servant was like begging and pleading with the master,
mm-hmm.
like, man, please forgive me. And the master was like, you're forgiven. But then the servant was like, hey, man, can you forgive me? He's like, absolutely not. And the master was like,
oh, yeah, they got that all the money.
Yeah.
Yes.
And he's like, hey, I just forgave you. Now you're going to go where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Yeah.
And it's like, I think that's the greatest example of love, like we're begging and pleading with God, like, God, like, we need you. We need you to show up. We need a miracle. And he does it.
Yeah.
And then now we're walking in that. And now somebody begging and pleading for us just for that glimpse of love that they never received, that they don't know. Like, love can slap them in the face and they don't even know what it is or who it is. And we're like, nah, because we're going through this. Or nah, because we don't have time for that.
Right.
And it's like, no, he has made time for you for those things. He has made time for you to love you and to show you what that actually is. And now that you have it, now you let that come out of you. And I think that that's honestly so beautiful, man. Honestly, I just that's deep, bro. That's, that's deep. Yeah.
Just give people a chance.
Yeah, give people a chance, bro. And you know,
and don't give up on people.
Yeah, you can't. Yeah, if you know, if you give up on people, man, this wouldn't be what it is right now.
Exactly. Right. That's true.
Yeah,
that's
man.
True. Don't give up on people.
Yeah, man, you gotta love them like, you know, God loves you and he loves each and every one of us. But yeah, I usually have the unless you wanted to ask me any questions before we end it off, bro.
I think we share a lot of stuff for people to process.
Yeah, process it. You know, people are gonna watch it like, oh wow, what is that about? Oh wow, you know, so that's gonna be, you know, I pray that it touches and it reaches people. But usually I have an end off with people talking about like what a kingdom person, what a kingdom man looks like to them.
Mm-hmm.
So like to you, I'll just say, what does being a kingdom person look like to you? Being a person of the kingdom, being a man of the kingdom, what does that in your eyes look like?
You know, I think it's fairly simple. I think it would be just being a lover of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you love Jesus, you will love people.
Mm.
You know, if you love Jesus and you keep your eyes on him, you know, and no matter what you face, it's going to show that you love Jesus, right? So I think it starts there with being a lover of Jesus, you know, keeping your eyes on him. And then I would say being a kingdom person is having the understanding that we're Team Jesus. Not we're not like you're like Team B, Team C, yeah, Team D, yeah. Team A. You know, we're all on the same team. Like, you know, like I think it's understanding that no matter what church you're in, mm-hmm. you know, you're and people. If people are getting saved, they're having a relationship with Jesus, then we should cheer one another,
right?
Sure, you know, there's different flavors, different styles, you know. Some people like vanilla, some people like chocolate, some people like strawberry, I don't know.
Right,
some
right.
people like cookies and cream.
Yeah.
We all like different flavors,
right? Different flavors.
And that's okay,
yeah.
you know. But I think if we're all shooting for the same goal, which in this case is preaching the good news of the gospel, right? And leading people into a relationship with Jesus, mm-hmm. I think that's all that matters.
Yeah.
You know, after that, you know, I think we're all going to be held accountable to God for whatever we say or do. You know, that's a different topic for another day.
Yeah.
But yeah,
episode two.
That's episode two or 17.
Yeah.
but I think at the end of the day, you know, what it matters is are we helping people have a relationship with Jesus?
Yeah.
Or not, you know? And then are we discipling them? Are we helping them grow in their faith?
Yeah.
So I think that's being kingdom.
Kingdom, yeah. Okay, and you know, this is kind of new, but we're into a new season, so I might as well do it. What encouragement would you give me? And what encouragement would you give the viewers before, you know, you head off, bro?
I would say keep loving Jesus, mm-hmm. you know? Keep your eyes on him. I want to say if you're going through a tough time right now, keep your eyes on him. Read your Bible, you know. Pray for a friend. Find a group where you can get plugged in, you know. And if it doesn't work out, try again.
Yeah.
Keep trying. You know, keep trying until you find a place, you know. But pray.
Yeah.
I would say prayer is crucial. I've learned that through the many years, you know, that I've been a believer and a lover of Jesus, that prayer changes things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, prayer also moves the hand of God.
Yeah.
Right? And in our favor, you know. And well, we have God's favor, we have his attention, right? Mm-hmm. But sometimes it's good to pray because we can focus our attention on God.
Right. right.
So I think it's important to pray, you know, and just bring and be specific. You know, we talk about being specific, you know,
yeah.
pray specific prayers, you know. If you need a friend, describe the friend. If you need a bro in your life, you describe what your bro looks like. If you need two bros,
yeah.
what do they look like? You know, what yeah. you know, pray specific prayers. I believe that God answers prayers. So
yeah.
those are my two things.
All right. You want to pray us out, bro?
Of course, absolutely. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day, and we thank you for this time, God. Lord, right now, Lord, whatever people are, God, I just pray, Lord, that you will meet them where they are, God. Lord, you loved us so that you sent your son to die on that cross for us, God. But you loved us so, Lord, that you didn't want to leave us where we were. So, God, I just pray, Lord, that you give us the strength and the courage to continue to press and move forward, Lord, in the destiny that you have and the purpose that you have for us, Lord, and for our lives, God. Lord, I pray for that every single person, Lord, that is listening to this today, Lord, that they will be embraced by your love, by your kindness, Lord, that you will wrap them by your arms of love, God. And whatever they may be going through, Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you will make a way for them, God, today. Whatever that prayer looks like, whatever that situation could look like, God, there is nothing that is impossible for you, Lord. So we fix our trust, our faith, our eyes on you, God, wholeheartedly believing that you will make a way, God. You will make a way, God. So we thank you, Lord, for this time. Thank you for speaking to us, God, and thank you for challenging us, Lord, to not stay where we are. We love you. We honor you in Jesus' name.
Amen. I thank you guys for watching. I want to thank Carlos again for
the
episode, man.
Absolutely, man. Thank you
so much.
Thank you for having me.
Love your family. You guys are a huge blessing to not just my life, but my family's life as well. And I love you, Young, Wise, and Rich family. We'll be back next week talking about how we're part of the 99.